Welcome in. As we begin our Good Friday service, I want to start by reading from a passage in Isaiah. It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." As we step into this time, I am so glad that you've taken a moment out of your schedule that we could just come and rest and reflect and remember just what Jesus has done for us. And we're going to look to the cross today. We're going to look at what Jesus endured on our behalf. And we're going to take time to sing. And we're going to read some scripture together. And we're going to remember the one who gave himself as a ransom for all. We'll remember that Jesus died. And because Jesus died, we can truly live. And so as we begin, I'm going to ask you just to stand with me, and you're going to see some scriptures on the screen, and throughout the night, as you see some of these scriptures on the screen, the words that are written in yellow, I'm going to invite you to read along with me. The ones in white, I'll read, but the ones in yellow, you can read along with me. And so let's begin by reading these. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Would you pray with me? Father, as we enter into this time, it is our aim to let go of the day that has been and just to point our direction, our affection, our attention to you. You who are the great shepherd, you who are the overseer of our souls, you who are the one that selflessly gave of himself that we might live. And so, Lord, in this time, would we recognize not only what you did for us, but, Lord, would you help us to see our part, to help us to see that it was our sins that held you there. And yet, because you died, we can experience freedom and forgiveness in you, available to all who say yes to you. And so, Lord, as we enter into this time, we recognize the cost of the cross. We contemplate the pain that you endured, the agony, the sorrow, the betrayal, the wounds. The loss of breath. All of this you endured on our behalf and in your great love. And so, Lord, in these moments as we sing, as we reflect, as we look to your word, we praise you, we worship you, we thank you. Meet us in these moments, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, the King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified.
Of grace is Jesus my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hope, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Been one. no fate I dread, no fate I dread. I know I am forgiven. The future's sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I owe, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. For the chains are released, I can sing, I am free. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus. For he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me. Until I stand with joy before the throne. To this hour, to this I hold my.
So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but rather, this man said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
My life is yours, and my hope is in you only. My heart you hold, 'cause you made this sinner holy and whole. Thank you.
Jesus, you are good. Lift your voice singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, you are good. Singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, you are good.
Lord, we declare your glory tonight, God, your goodness. Displayed clearly and always and forever, God, at the cross. So tonight, God, as we just take time to remember and reflect as we head towards Easter, God, we want to pause to remember the great price that you paid, God, that we could be called children of God and that we could know forgiveness of sins and new life and the hope of heaven forever. So, Lord, would you speak now by your Spirit and have your way in this time? We ask you all in Jesus' name. Amen.
You guys can take a seat. It was after a long night of trials and lies and beatings and false charges where Jesus was taken to Golgotha and he was hung on the cross between two criminals. And it was here that even in his pain, he showed presence of mind in what was happening. Looking at the sorrow of his mother as he hung before her, he told John, the beloved disciple, to care for her. The agony of this moment had not overcome his ability to be present to the pain of others, even in the midst of his own. A telling moment that reminds us that Jesus did not come to the cross by accident. But he came with a purpose. Jesus came to usher in the death of death, to pay our debt in full and to reconcile us to God. We call Good Friday good because Jesus died, that we may live. Our sorrow, our shame, our sin, our pain, our hate, our rage, our addictions, our debtor's wage, our self-loathing, our self-soothing, our self-sufficiency, our self-proving, our pride, our envy, our lust, our frenzy, our gluttony, our death, our apathy, our final breath are all met in the cross of Christ. Because all have sinned. All have fallen short. All owe the debt of death. And so often we wish to sanitize the death of Jesus and rush to the roar of resurrection. And we will get there, come back with us on Sunday, and we will celebrate. But first we have to stop, we have to pause, we have to remember. And we also need to recognize our part, our sin. Our nails we drive into his hands. Our thorns we place on his brow. Our words we mock him with. In the modern hymn, How Deep the Father's Love for Us, Stuart Townend captures this so well with words that take us from the back row as mere witnesses of Jesus' death and bring us to the front row as participants in Jesus' death. As I read these, as we get to the yellow, I want us all to read that aloud. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. The goodness of Good Friday and the goodness of this particular death, Jesus' death, come and knowing the one who chose to die, to reconcile us and to meet our pile of sin and sorrow and shame. 1 Timothy 2 says, For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. So now let's read that again, and with the yellow highlighted, we'll say, For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. For there is one God, God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, the very one that we were designed, made for, and meant to walk with all of our days, to be in relationship with him. But our sin, our rebellion, ruptured our relationship with him. But God in his great love would provide a way to deal with our sin, to deal with our debt, to deal with our rebellion. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus, fully human, fully divine, the one who had come to seek and save the lost, of which we all are, he is the one who stands between God and all humanity, you, me, each one of us. Jesus and Jesus alone bridges the gap that was created by our sin. Even now, Jesus intercedes on our behalf before the Father. It is because of Jesus, the second Adam, who did not succumb to sin, that we can be redeemed, we can be restored, we can be reconciled. By his wounds, we are healed. And again, this was no accident. This was no mix-up on the part of Jesus. This was his plan. This was his purpose. For we remember, there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Jesus gave himself as a ransom for all to free us. He gave himself as a ransom for all to free you. He gave himself as a ransom for all to free me from the captivity of sin, shame, sorrow, death. For this, Jesus died. He alone could pay our debt. He alone could be the perfect sacrifice once and for all. Jesus' own words in Mark 10:45 speak to this when he said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." You see, before Jesus was ever nailed to the cross, he was wrestling with what was before him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Just moments before he would be betrayed by one of his very own, Jesus was overcome by the crushing weight of what he knew lay in front of him. He had set his face towards Jerusalem, knowing that his death was coming. And in this moment, what does he do? He stops and he goes and he comes before his heavenly Father. He prays and he pleads, asking if there's another way, because he knew what this was going to entail. He who knew no sin was about to take on the sin of all humanity, that by his sacrifice we may live. And as he prayed in agony, his sweat becoming as drops of blood, he concluded with these words, "Not my will, but yours be done." And so Jesus gave himself entirely, a ransom for all, leaving nothing. He gave all that by his death, our debt has been paid in full. Jesus, our ransom, the payment for which freedom may be granted to all who believe. And so Jesus willingly, knowingly, purposefully, lovingly, mercifully dies. And Jesus died so that you may truly live. And this is why we call this Friday good. Because Jesus dies for you, for me, for all. And what we know in this is that if we confess who he is, but also if we come to him and we confess our sins, the very ones that held him there, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is finished by the body and blood of Jesus, and by his wounds you are healed. And so now we come to a moment of response. Where in just a moment we're going to take communion together, and just so you know, we're going to hand that out to you in just a moment, so if you don't have it, don't begin looking for it. And we're going to take a moment to remember that Jesus has paid it all with his all. But before we come to the table, I want to take a moment for each of us to recognize our part in the cross. To remember that it was our sin upon his shoulders. That it was your sin, my sin, that held him there. And so when you came in, you were handed a piece of paper that just said, Jesus died for my... And even as we were singing the last song, like, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I found it comical that we gave you just one line. Because as we think through that, as we think through the actions that we've done in rebellion, the things in our heart that still fester and linger, the words that maybe no one knows are living in your head, the actions that you've done that nobody else has seen, the sins that so fester and boil within our very hearts, Jesus died for each and every one of those. Knowingly, willingly, lovingly, mercifully, purposely, he died. And because he dies, we may truly live. And so what I want to invite you to do is simply write on this piece of paper whatever you just need to bring before him. And then we're going to take that piece of paper and you can fold it, you can rip it, you can crumple it, you can do whatever you want, whatever feels appropriate. And then in just a moment, I'm going to invite you just to place it in this basket before the cross. As a physical representation and reminder of just letting go, of confessing your sins, and knowing that when we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive. I'm going to invite the worship team to come out, and in just a moment, they're going to play a song. And as they do, I'm going to encourage you to take the time you need to fill this out and then come and drop this. And then as you drop this, myself and a couple of the other elders will be standing there. And we'll have the communion elements, and we're going to hand those to you as you come. As we come and we take of the bread, his body broken for us. We take of the cup, his blood shed for us. And as we do that, we're going to speak something over you. We're simply going to say, it is finished by the body and blood of Jesus, and by his wounds you have been healed. Because I want you to know, I want you to hear just what he has done for you. For you. That he has died for you. That by him you may truly live. And then after you have the cup and the bread, go back to your seat, and you're free to worship however you want. And then we'll come all together to take of the bread and take of the cup. And so let me just pray for us. Father, we just come before you right now. We recognize that it is our sin upon your shoulders. It is our sin that held you there. And yet you, in your great love, were not surprised by this. You didn't shrink back from this. You stepped forward. Even while we were enemies of you, you were making it possible for us to be reconciled to you. That once again, we could walk in freedom and forgiveness that is found only by your blood. So Lord, in these moments, we confess where we have faltered, where we've failed, where we've outright done the wrong thing knowingly. But we also confess that by your blood, by your death, we have been forgiven. And Lord, we thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your mercy. Would you meet us in these moments? We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretched treasure. I should enough searing love. The Father turned his face away, who has wounds which mar the chosen one, bring many sons to glory. Thank you.
I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no powers, no wisdom. Oh, but I won't boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus, my righteousness. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus, oh precious. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
The Lord Jesus, on the night that He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So as we take of the bread, we remember that Jesus gave all, that by His death, we remember our debt has been paid in full. So let us take of the bread together. In the same way, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So as we take the cup, we remember that it is finished by the body and blood of Jesus. And by his wounds, we have been healed. So let us take of the cup together. Father, we thank you that in your great love, you sent your Son so that we would not be destined to eternity separate from you, but that you brought about a path of reconciliation through Jesus. And Jesus, fully divine, fully human, the perfect lamb and sacrifice who met all the requirements, took on the death that we deserved. And Lord, we cannot thank you enough for your mercy and for your kindness. And so, Lord, we remember what you have done. We remember the cost of the cross. We remember your pain, your sorrow, your anguish. And we remember our sin and our part in it. And so we confess to you. We seek forgiveness. We seek freedom that is only possible in you. And so, Lord, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for all you have done. We praise you. We give all glory to you. Praying this in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me as we sing one last song together?
Everything changed. It's getting harder to recognize the person I was before I encountered Christ. I don't walk like I used to. I don't talk like I used to. I've been washed from the inside. I've been washed from the inside out. Freely given.
What can I say? A thank you is not enough. And Jesus, your grace, your mercy poured out for us. I will love you forever, here on earth into heaven. I've been washed from the inside. I've been washed from the inside out.
It is finished. By the body and blood of Jesus, and by his wounds, you have been healed. Because Jesus died, you can truly live. As we leave from here, may you continue to reflect on the cost of the cross. May you continue to bring to him those things that are outside of alignment with God, those things that need to be confessed, and lay them at the feet of the cross, remembering that he is faithful and he is just to forgive. That by his blood, you are forgiven and now free to live in relationship with God as you were designed to. But what we also know of this story is that Jesus died. The historical account that he was laid into a tomb, but we also know he did not stay there. And if you'd like to come back on Sunday, we're going to get real loud about that. Today we talked around that Jesus dies. On Sunday we'll talk around how he lives, but not only lives, but he saves, he rescues, and he redeems. And so if you want to join us as the sun is rising at 6:30 a.m., we will be up on the lawn to kind of just, you know, entice you a little bit more. There will be burritos there, which are helpful and good. And then at 8:30 and 10:30, we will be back to celebrate. And let me just say this one more time to you. I've said it a couple times. If you have anyone in your community, in your influence that you've just thought, man, I would love for them to hear the truth of who Jesus is in the gospel, this is a great Sunday for them to hear that, to hear the message of the truest truth that we know, that Jesus lived, he died, he rose again, and that because he lived and died and rose again, we can have life as we were meant to, that he saves us, he rescues us, he redeems us. And so I'd encourage you, come back, celebrate with us as we look at the fact that Jesus saves. But as you leave from here today, remember again, because Jesus died, you can truly live. We look forward to celebrating with you on Resurrection Sunday. And may the grace and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be multiplied to you. God bless you, and we'll see you Sunday morning.